Maybe we are upset about something is coming at us about with some evil plans or whatever it may be. And oh God, we just want to bring all those things before you, surrender those things to you. And oh Father, we want to ask you, oh God, for your direction and your guidance in our life. How do we respond in this situation? Give us, oh Father, specifics. What should I do so that I can bless somebody who does evil? Thank you, Jesus, for your presence in the midst of us. Thank you, God, for speaking to our hearts and minds today. Because your word says that be thankful to God in all circumstances. And some of the negative situation which we may be facing, some of the disturbing things that are probably we are processing in our mind and our heart, Father, we just want to, in spite of all those things, we just want to come before you. And beyond our capacity, beyond our thinking, with your help, oh God, we simply want to say thank you, Jesus. We just want to be thankful to you. We may not understand everything that is involved in those circumstances, oh God, but you ask us to be thankful to you because you're God. You know everything. You have created us. You know all the situations. You know all the negative things that we think are happening in our lives. You know everything about that. And in the midst of us, you see us because you have created us. You see other people as well, and you have a plan forward which we may not understand. So have your way, oh God, within our soul. Help us to think through and process through some of the things that we are going through. And oh God, we don't want to just kind of keep doing those things in our own strength, but we want to surrender those things in your hand and want to worship you and say thank you, Jesus. In all these uncomfortable, sticky situations, I give thanks to God. Have your way, O Father, in our life. Move us and guide us and lead us, O God. We are grateful for people who are here to worship you. We are grateful for people who are worshiping online and looking around in different states, in our state, in our community, in different countries. Oh, Father God, just we want to pray for each and every person. You know their circumstances. And in all those circumstances, give us the spirit of giving thanks to you, Father God. We praise you and we give you thanks. Today, we continue to praise you, give you thanks, O God, through the giving of our tithes and our offerings, and receive it, O Father. You have asked us to give you and bring in your household, O Father God, our tithes and offering, and it's a thanksgiving to you, O Father. Maybe we find ourselves in a financial bind. Maybe we have not looked after our money properly, what you have given to us. Maybe we want to learn a few things. How do we do that? And we need help, oh God, sometimes from you, or all the times from you. And in those difficult situations, we should be grateful and thankful. And we need to give you and correct our attitude of giving to you, oh Father. When we give to you, it is not a fundraising. It is the spiritual practice that we practice, O Father, to give you and give thanks to you. So if we are lacking in those areas, O Father God, just speak to our hearts. Speak to our soul, O Father, as to how do we look at our finances, our money, the things that you have given to us, O Father. And oh God, we come to the place of surrender. surrendering to you our soul, our attitude towards all these things. Have mercy upon us, O God. And when we do this, and when we are thankful to you, O Father, in all areas of our lives, you bless us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your Spirit, which is present in the midst of us right now. Thank you, God, for speaking to our soul. Thank you, God, for speaking to our hearts today and during this time right now. And as we continue to meditate upon your word and learn from your word, open your word to us. Open our heart, open our mind, O God. Help us to learn through that. And as the kids go and worship you, be with them, bless them, O God, richly. And, O Father, we just want to commit ourselves into your hand. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we worship through the giving of our tithes and offering, let's do this with joyful heart and with the sacrificial giving and giving thanks to God. Let's do that, and let's praise God, give thanks to Him. Let's express our thanksgiving to Him today with clapping.
Let's just sing as we do the offering. Let's sing that verse one again.
And as the
praise God. Thank you for being here on this beautiful day. You know, I always say when the weekend comes, the weather just goes bad, but this is a great day. You know, the weekend is here, Sunday is here, and so weather is great. It's sun is shining. That's amazing. You know, the human mind is very funny. You know, when weather is bad, we don't want to come to church. When weather is good, we don't want to come to church either, because we want to go have fun, you know? So when do you come before the Lord, you know, and worship Him? So think about it. Tell our friends. Just make the decision to kind of make priority coming together and worshiping the Lord, you know? The summer is coming, and it's a very scary thing sometimes for the church, because, you know, we like to do that. I always say this, you know, go enjoy the summer and whatever you need to do, but keep it in moderation, you know, just kind of don't abandon coming together as we fellowship together. And so let's keep reminding ourselves with that. And you know, we had a great time in Saldatna last week. We had a district assembly where all our 30 churches come together from all over Alaska. Not every person comes together, but, you know, some of the representatives go there, and it's a great fellowship. We had a great mission convention where people have, you know, come and spoke about amazing stories and what happens on the mission field. We are in We recently, and I forget, I may mess up the name of the country. Matthew, do you remember? The recent country we opened our work in Europe somewhere. Eastern Europe somewhere. I don't know. So, sorry, I should know this. Recently we opened the work in the Eastern European country. That is that marks 165th country. That our church is working. And so we had a great missions convention, and then, you know, discipleship convention, and some of the great speaker, one of my friend, pastor, she came and shared about her story of how God really took hold of her. Since young age, she was involved in a criminal activity. She went in a jail in and out, and she was addicted to the drugs and alcohol and you name it. And somebody just never gave up on her. She stole pastor's car to buy the drugs and all these things. And still, there were certain boundaries, of course, they were put when it was not free hand for her. But they kept loving her. And now she's enrolled in a seminary, doing her doctoral degree, and she's pastoring a church in a Kansas City area, just doing amazing work. And she just kind of told the story of how God delivered her from all those things because somebody discipled her. Somebody made friends with her, the pastor and the congregation, and kept walking with her, and she's at this place, speaks all over, not too long ago. And so it's just an amazing story. Just amazing, life-transforming. We heard so many stories in many different churches how people are coming to Christ and how their lives are being transformed. So Jesus transforms lives, And today, as we really focus on the Word of God, I just want to kind of say to all of us that I hope today what we are going to really talk about, and there are some outlines there. I have just put it on the chairs. Just get hold of those. That, focusing on our life, and last week we really talked about who we are as a people. And we tried to answer that question, and we talked about we must know who God is and what He has to offer to us. And we talked about that, and we learned from the Word of God that we are holy people. We are people belonging to God. We are people we are part of God's family, and He has invited us, and He has made us as His children, which is a very significant identity that God has given to us. And I want to kind of go further a little bit really talk a little bit more about that. But one of the very significant thing in the introduction I want to really talk about is, our thoughts and our thinking. It's so powerful. It is so powerful. And Bible talks about that. I'm not talking about self-help book which talks about power of positive thinking. But I'm talking about what Bible talks about, how do we think? And the Bible says that take captive every thought and make it obedient to God, which is very different than power of positive thinking, what the world tells about. Word of God really gives us the direction about our thinking, and it is not just you think positive things, but you take every thought captive and make it obedient to God. So you surrender your thoughts. What that means is you, if you have negative thoughts, and if you are killing yourself, and if you are breaking yourself down, and if you're saying to yourself all these negative things about it, you take those thoughts captive and surrender to God. And ask God the direction, what am I supposed to be thinking? What am I supposed to be really meditating upon, and meditate upon the Word of God, and not the world says that meditate upon emptiness. Sounds so philosophical. Sounds so, out there, so deep. You got to think about emptiness. And the world will tell you, so many meditation people will tell you, think about emptiness, because that emptiness will just kind of take you to the places. It's a very dangerous place because the evil will fill your empty mind. And you just open the door for evil to come in, so be careful. The Bible really tells us that meditate upon the Word of God. Take captive every thought and make it obedient to God. So, you know, we can go more and more into that, but I just want to kind of give you as a foundation to think about as we think about some important things that who we are as a people. You know, some of my favorite authors, Stan Toller, he wrote so many books, and he mentions the quote of a really great author and a speaker, W. Clemens, who was, you know, olden times, he lived. And he says, what the mind can conceive, you can achieve. So if you're telling yourself all the time that you're not good enough, you're not good enough. That is what is kind of being told to you. You know, it is important for us to answer this question, and I want to kind of take it a little deeper than what we started last week, that who we are, our identity, and we kind of answered a few questions about that last week, but I want to take it a little bit deeper, the question, know who you are. And as I said, lots of people don't know who they are, their identity, and who they are, and things like that. So let's talk about this question a little bit. You know, a story is told about Andy Carr, you know, is told by Andy Carr in Indianapolis Recorder newspaper in November 6, 2009. And you can probably Google search that. And it's a very interesting story. And this story is about this lady. And this lady is, and it describes, and I won't tell you each details of this story. It's kind of a long story. You can probably Google that, you know, later on, read that. It's a very interesting story of a lady who talks to herself and tells herself that she is accident prone, and everything she will do, she will create some accident, and she will hurt herself, and she is clumsy, and she will drive, and many times she will end up in accident, and everything she touches, something clumsy happens, something breaks, and that is what is will happen with her. She is constantly telling herself that this is who she is. And then guess what happens? She breaks things. There is a fender bender every time. She just kind of finds herself, hurting herself and all that. And she sets the pattern in her life. And she keeps doing that. And that is what keeps happening in her life. And it is true many times in our life, maybe we tell ourselves, man, I'm not good enough. You know, what do I have to offer to anybody? I don't have anything to offer. Nobody likes me. And many times we joke around and we say that nobody cares about me, nobody likes me. And I'm just a person who is not good enough. You know, I'm a bad parent maybe. Because look at the other parents, they do such a great job and I don't. And maybe we put ourselves into that box. Maybe I'm not a good person, I'm not a good worker. I'm helpless, I'm in isolation, and I'm in abandonment. And maybe we do that, we tell that ourselves, and then we follow up upon that, and we isolate ourselves, and then nobody cares, you know, and it just becomes a very difficult environment for our life. Because we hide ourselves, and we keep ourselves from connecting with people because we are just kind of keep telling all these negative things, and all of a sudden we create that environment around us, and we hide ourselves and we isolate ourselves, and then that keeps piling upon us, and it is a bad situation for us. And then the mind starts to tell us we are worthless. You know, we are living in a shame and all these things. And then there comes the devil and sits on your shoulder and keeps amplifying those thoughts into our mind. He loves that. Once you give a little bit of opening in your mind about these things, he just kind of loves to kind of come and sit on your shoulder and sometimes get into your head and magnify those noises. And, you know, just there is an amplifier, built-in amplifier that comes with him. And he kind of keeps pounding those things in our mind. It gets into our soul. It gets into our personality. And we start behaving that way. And then we repeat those things in action. And then that confirms to us, oh, look, I'm right. I'm that bad. Or I'm that clumsy, or whatever it may be, you know. I mean, the list goes on, and I don't want to kind of read the list. You know what are your challenges maybe in your life. And that list keeps going on, and Satan just magnifies those things in our life, and we follow that thing up with our actions. And we find ourselves in a messy, messy situation. And that's the reason God says to us, take captive every thought and make it obedient to God. What that means is meditate upon the word of God. If you're thinking you're worthless, take hold of that thought and surrender to God. And say, God, this is what this is telling me. And I capture this thought, and I want to surrender this thought to you, O God. And so that thought is given to God. And so what do we fill our mind with is meditate upon the word of God and see what God tells you about yourself. True stories. You may think the pastor is just, you know, not just me, but all the pastors out there, they have everything in control. They don't think negative thoughts. They don't think, oh, you know, whatever thoughts that as a human being thinks that, oh, I'm worthless, I'm this, I'm that. And that happens with everybody, to tell you the truth. If some pastors don't tell you that, they'd never think like that, they're lying. So, as a human being, it's a struggle for everybody. The true story and true experiences in my life, when I find myself in that situation, you know, I try to capture those thoughts, give it to God. And many times I will tell some things about myself, and next day or next 3-4 hours later, I will have a call from somebody which just confirms that whatever I was thinking is such a lie. And that has happened to me so many times, and those are the moments to praise God and give thanks and confirms that how true is God in our life. He's a very practical God who does work in our life, you know, every moment of our life, every situations of our life. It is, these words are just not written a few thousand years ago, and they are good at that time. And as I live and walk my life today and go through this struggle and fight within ourselves about who we are and how, you know, limited place we find ourselves and all those negative things, God's word is so powerful. And he is active in our life. You know why? Because he's a living God and he cares about us. And what he tells, the word of God, what word of God tells us is the reality in our life. It truly is a reality. So God never lies. And whenever he says that, you know, take captive every thought and make it obedient to God, there is a meaning to that. It is just not said just for the sake of saying it. It becomes a reality in a right direction for our life. So as we think about it, and as we keep answering this question, the Word of God tells us, and there is an outline with purpose I have given you, because there are lots of scripture passages which are written there. I would like you to kind of go home and read those and reflect upon that and keep it handy, this paper, this outline, when you think and when you question about who you are. And especially when you are talking to yourself all the negative things. The first thing the Word of God tells us is this: you are accepted. When you tell yourself, nobody likes me, when you tell somebody, or when you tell yourself for that matter, that nobody loves me, I'm not worth loving, I'm not worth caring, and who wants to care about me? You know, sometimes the devil will say, oh, you look this way and you look that way, and, you know, people really don't care about you, and all these messed up things kind of start coming up in our head and in our soul and in our mind. God says you are accepted. We talked about that last Sunday, that you are accepted as a in the family of God. A God who created the universe, the God who has control over everything, you're part of his family as a people of God. You know, it says, I'm God's child. John chapter 1, verse 12. I'm a friend of Jesus Christ. John chapter 15:15. I have been brought and I belong to God. God has bought you. He has purchased you with the shedding of his blood. He has paid it all for you, and you have been bought with his blood, and he has paid a big price for you. He loves you and he cares for you, and he does that. I am complete in Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Do you feel inadequate? Do you feel that, oh, I'm just not good enough, and it's just I'm incomplete here and incomplete there, and that is the humanness which kind of comes out of us, of our thinking, and of who we are as a people without Christ. But Jesus tells us, Christ tells us, you are complete in Christ. Just rest in him. And that is the reason the Word of God tells us that take captive every thought and make it obedient to God. So God has to be part of our process. God has to be part of our thinking process, our life process, because without God, we are incomplete. We will always find ourselves incomplete without God. But when we surrender ourselves, when we make him part of our journey, surrender, keep surrendering and keep obeying God and ask God to be a part of our journey, Christ completes our life. And that is what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, 14 and 16, that you're complete in Christ. You're not incomplete. You're not, just messy person. Do you feel rejected? Do you feel nobody cares? Read the Word of God and gives the description of who you are. Who you are in Christ. And then we may feel insecure. That is the reality. Man, I don't know if I'm doing this right. I don't know if I'm saying certain things is right or wrong, what will people think, what will this person think, and all sorts of questions. And of course, we are a human being. We are going to make mistakes. We are going to say things which we mean something and something else comes out of our mouth. And I did that last week in front of everybody. And I, why did I say that? And I had to go and apologize to 4 or 5 people. Man, Matthew's shaking his head. What a shame. Don't take pastor anywhere. Says some weird stuff. I didn't mean to say that, but I just said it. And then to go and apologize. I didn't mean to say this. I didn't mean to say this, you know. That's humanness. And we will always make those mistakes. We will make those mistakes. And because of that, we feel insecure within ourselves. But Bible says that you are secure in Christ. You know, surrender yourself. You know, I am free from condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. I am free from those things. I am assured that God works for my good in all circumstances. Even if you mess up, God works with you and for you in those circumstances. As a human, you will make mistakes. You blurb out certain things, or you will do things which are not good enough. But God works things out for you because He is working. You belong to God's family, and He is there working with you. He makes you look like a, is it okay to say rock star or the great person? He really does. And He is on your side even if you fail in doing many things. You know, another thing is, I'm confident that God will complete the good work He started in me. That is Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. The good work that God has started in me, He will complete it in me. Maybe you may say that I don't have energy to do that. I don't know how do you do that, but God knows what needs to happen, and we need to keep surrendering ourselves to Him. I have not been given the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, love, and sound mind. And we spend good enough time, 4 weeks in January, talking about the whole fear factor. You know, go back and listen to those sermons if you have missed them. You know, the idea of fear. And God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love and sound mind and power. That doesn't mean that if train is coming at you, you just stand in front of the train and say, I'm not afraid. You should be afraid of that. You know, that is a positive fear. But it's really talking about the negative fear, and God has given us the boldness, and that is who we are. We are secure in Christ. Don't paralyze yourself about the situations. Give it to God and let Him work out those things, and be honest and transparent to God. God, this is the situation. This is what it is, and I have done these things. I don't know anymore what to do. Please help me, oh God. Maybe sometimes it is our pride that we don't want to put our needs before God. And then we feel insecure and fearful and get paralyzed. And so we are secure in God, in Jesus. That is what the Word of God tells us. That is who you are. Not only that, but you are significant. You are a very important person. Man, sometimes we feel, I'm not important. But for God, you're so important. The reason you're important, because He has created you. The very fact that He has given you life and you are born in this world, not by accident. You have been born in this world with purpose. That's what we are really studying about. What is your purpose and who you are and those types of things. It's just an amazing study. And it just kind of reinforces that you are significant, you are important. I am a branch of Jesus Christ, the true vine and a channel of His life. John 15:5. I am God's temple. God lives in you. When you accept God, when you have a relationship with Him, He lives in you. The resurrected God who is resurrected, you know, on that third day, that same God lives in you. Can you imagine that? Go with that confidence. You're important. I'm God's workmanship. God has created you with a lot of thoughts in mind. your personality, the way God has wired you, the way God has given you gifts and talents that with a lot of thoughts and a lot of thinking, God has created you. He has not created you with accident and just, you know, he didn't have time, so he put you together something and just placed upon this earth. That is a lie. Because Word of God says, you are God's workmanship. And I may approach God with freedom and confidence. You are important. You do not need God's appointment to go and speak to him. You can go and speak to him anytime because you're important and you're significant. You know, friends, please know the truth about yourself. This is who you are in Christ. Take heart. Be confident that you're significant, that you are secure, that you're important, and you are God's child. That is who you are. If you still question that, go read this, and that's the reason I provided you with this outline. Go read these scripture passages, and God is going to speak more in your life as you read more and more about it. When you question yourself, who you are, go back to those scripture passages and read those, and God is going to speak to your soul and your heart in those moments. But here is another practical thing for us to practice. It is important to deliberately seek and surround yourself with positive people. You have to do this intentionally. You have to do this intentionally and surround yourself with people who speak good things in your life, who contribute positive things in your life, who bless your heart, and who do not tear you down but build you up. You know, these are the people you want to have conversations with. At the same time, there are people, don't misunderstand me, there are people who need you as well. And they are not at that place, and they are not probably going to speak positive things in your life, but you are the one who are going to speak those positive things. So don't be just selfish, but give and take, and you find somebody whom you can pour that positive thoughts in their life, Jesus in their life, bless them with the name of Jesus, and find people in your life whom you can surround yourself with. You know, Zig Ziglar, a great author and a speaker, said this, I don't want to be around, and this is his thoughts, he says, I don't want to be around people who brighten the room when they leave the room. I want to be around people who brighten the room when they enter into the room. And so that tells us, that is for us to really reflect upon our life. Am I that person who enters the room and people are like, oh my goodness, I can only take this person for 3 minutes. That's it. So evaluate, what am I speaking? What am I saying? Maybe sometimes we think that we are the greatest people on the opposite side, but we have the greatest thoughts, but not everybody thinks that way. When we speak, you know, people are broken down. They get discouraged. Their life is probably just broken down. They are in a broken situation already. And when we come in and we say certain things, and we make them feel miserable. And evaluate that about yourself and think about that. You know, Barnabas was a great, great guy in the Bible, and his story is written, and I have given you the outline again. Barnabas was a very generous person. You want to find these kinds of people around you. You want to create these friends for you who are generous. Barnabas was generous. And you know, he sold some of his property and donated to the work of God, to the church, and his income to the church. And he was generous, and he had this important character, and he was not self-centered, but others-centered. He always thought about others. You want to seek out these kinds of people in your life who are thinking to build you up. If you are thinking about having 3 or 4 people, you want that kind of a person to interact with. You know, Barnabas gave Paul a chance. You know, the story in Acts, that story is written in Acts chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. You know who Paul was, of course. You know the story of Paul. He hated Christians, you know, when he was Saul. He persecuted Christians, and he just went after them. And in fact, he took the letter to kind of go and seek out these Christian people so that he could put them in jail and make life miserable for them, that these people who were preaching the word of God and that Jesus is resurrected and there is hope in Christ, and all these people, he was seeking them out, and then he met God, and God transformed his life. But people were skeptical about him, right? He didn't start his ministry right away. It took a little while for people to trust in him, and Barnabas came around him, and he says, man, you know, you're worried about this guy called Saul, and you probably you're thinking he's just acting up and trying to just kind of get into our circle and find out, and he's still going to come and probably arrest people and put them in jail and persecute them. He said, Barnabas kind of stood with Paul and said, he's a good guy. I back him up. And he gave him a chance to preach and proclaim the word of God. And he introduced him into the ministry journey. And you need Barnabas on your side. Sometimes the doors are closed, and you need somebody who is there. And we need to pray about it in our life and say, God, bring that type of a person in my life who opens the doors for me. Maybe for my business, maybe for whatever God has called me to do in my life. And God will do that. Barnabas gave John Mark, the second chance. And that story is interesting there. You know, Acts chapter 15, 36 to 41, there's a story about John Mark, and he was, you know, there was a fight between John Mark and Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journey. And Paul says, John Mark is not good enough to kind of come on a missionary journey because he is a sloppy guy and he does this and that and all that. And there is a conflict. And Barnabas says, oh, of course, people fail. People do some not good things in life, but you don't write them off. And Barnabas says, I need to give John Mark a second chance. As a human being, we will fail many times in our lives. And we need somebody. And we need to pray to God that there is somebody in our life who still trusts in us and who still believes in us. You know, Barnabas was committed to the growth of the kingdom. Acts chapter 11, 19 to 26. And he went to Antioch. The story there is he went to Antioch, and he was sent there to preach the gospel. And then he meets these people called Christians there in Antioch who were preaching the gospel already. So Barnabas goes there and he says, no, I have been sent to preach the gospel. So you guys just stay aside and I'm going to preach the gospel. That is not what he did. He said, oh, you're already doing this. So he came around and he built them up and he said, you know, I'm going to encourage you. And he created so many disciples and let them loose to preach the gospel. So we need people like that, Barnabas, in our life. We may not find all this character in one person, but we can seek out these kinds of people in our life to build us up. It takes effort on our side. So what I want to encourage you with is this. when you find yourself that poor me syndrome, oh my goodness, nobody likes me, nobody cares about me, I'm poor, poor in the sense, you know, poor me, you know, this is wrong with me, this is what it is. You know, take captive that thought and make it obedient to God. And depend upon the word of God and answer the question, this is who you are. You're secure. You're important. You're a chosen person for God. But at the same time, don't hide yourself in isolation. Go out there. Seek people. There are people out there. There are people here. Go out and have a conversation. Don't just wait for people to come to you. Just go out and build relationships and ask them, you know, and build those relationships with people so that they can contribute in your life. They can be encourager. It takes effort for our life to be better. God wants us to kind of do that. God wants us to seek Barnabas in our life. Maybe five Barnabases in our life, so that our life become rich. You know, it is very easy, friends, to kind of keep complaining about our life. Oh, this is wrong. This is who I am. This is what it is. And God has a plan for all our lives. We as a human being can get into that space very easily. But we got to be proactive and follow God's plan for our life and surrender ourselves to Him and let Him do the work in our life. Very practical steps that we can take in our life. And the Word of God is very clear about those. I hope that outline is helpful for you. Please take it. Maybe take a picture and put it in your phone, that when you need it, you can go back to those scriptures when you find yourself in those negative space in your life. But this is the word of God for us today. Let's bow our heads, give thanks to Him. Father in heaven, we are so grateful, O God, for who you are. As we try to answer the question and clarify a little bit more who we are as a people, what is our identity? Last week we clarified a little bit, and this week we clarified a little bit more, and the Word of God is very clear, O Father God. We are just not ordinary people. You have given us an identity. And that identity is in you. Without you, we are lost. We may find ourselves saved, our sins are forgiven, and maybe still we are struggling because we keep questioning who we are. There is assurance in the Word of God, and you assure us that we are your children. God has accepted us in His family. We are secure in Christ. When we surrender ourselves, when we give ourselves to you, O Father God, we are secure. Not only that, but we are important people. We are significant people because of you. Give us that confidence, O God, as we walk, as we talk to people, as we go on our jobs and do our work, as we do our business, as we do everything in our life, you know, outside this church, help us to understand when we are having a conversation with somebody, I'm representing Christ to them because I'm a child of God. I'm an important person that God has placed on this earth. And as I'm having a conversation with that person or in the meeting or whenever, that I'm contributing enough important things because who I am in Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us this confidence and helping us to kind of process this in our heart and in our mind, oh God, today. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand and sing this closing song. Blessed be your name. Blessed.